Grace and peace be unto you from Jesus Christ and from God our Father. Amen. The words I'd like to consider with you this morning are from Matthew chapter 27, from the account of our Lord's Passion, especially with respect to Pontius Pilate. Now we read in verses 24 through 26. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." But all the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. This is God's word. So, what's your opinion? Does the end justify the means? If we could raise $1,000 for Bible translation by hosting a casino night in our fellowship hall, should we? If you could put a little bit more money toward your child's education by fudging on your taxes, would you? If you felt that it meant the difference between getting the job or not, would you tell a little white lie on your resume? Every day we are faced with that tension between our principles and pragmatism. Will we be principled in our decisions and choices and do what we know to be the right thing? Or will we be pragmatic, doing what we believe is going to achieve some desirable or favorable outcome? Such was the choice that Pontius Pilate faced early one morning when his sleep was disturbed by a noisy delegation of Jews and their leaders. Mark's gospel says it was very early in the morning, perhaps 5 a.m. And you can imagine Pilate's reaction when he was awakened. How he must have cursed these Jews under his breath. And it wasn't just because he had been awakened so early that morning. It was the whole relationship that Pilate had with the Jews. This people that he had been appointed by Rome to govern were nothing but a perpetual pain in Pilate's neck. They opposed Pilate's every plan. They were against him at every turn. They were always on the verge of rioting. They were incessantly bickering about every decision he made. Pilate despised the Jews. And the feeling was mutual. So he gets up and he curses these Jews under his breath, splashes a little bit of water on his face, and quickly gets dressed. And then he goes out to meet this delegation, only to discover that they had brought him a man that they were accusing of crimes worthy of death. And so began yet another shootout between Pilate and the Jews. But for Pilate, this was also going to be a shootout between principles and pragmatism. On the principles side of things, Pilate clearly knew the right thing to do. He knew that this preacher from Nazareth had done nothing at all worthy of death, and that the principled way of handling this whole case would simply be to let Jesus go free. And of course, Pilate made a number of attempts to do that. He repeatedly asserted Jesus' innocence, such as he said in John chapter 18, when he said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." He tried to pass the buck when he referred the case to Herod, but Herod boomeranged it right back to him. And then he tried to get Jesus off the hook by giving the crowd a choice between the notorious Barabbas and Jesus. Surely they would choose to execute Barabbas, and then Jesus would be allowed to go free. He even went so far as to have Jesus flogged, hoping to stir up Jewish sympathy for this Nazarene. And when even that failed, he made one last dramatic attempt to frighten the Jews. He took a basin of water and he washed his hands and said that they, not he, they would be responsible for this man's death, hoping that their principles would now guide their decisions. But instead, they roared back, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Well, his principles were getting him nowhere fast. And so in the end, Pontius Pilate opted for pragmatism. Yes, an innocent man would have to suffer, but at least the crowd would be appeased, and he would squelch any possibility of an uprising and a riot with all of these people who were in Jerusalem for the Passover. Yes, a blameless man would have to die, but at least Pontius Pilate would not be reported back to Rome for having gone easy on a suspected traitor. And of course that wasn't true, but who wants to even fight such a charge? And yes, these hypocritical Jews would have their way again, but at least some greater public good would be served. And so Matthew simply says, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. Sad, isn't it, that Pilate, one of only two people mentioned in the creed besides Jesus, as I said, that Pilate is remembered not for anything positive that he might have accomplished, and he did, but he is remembered instead as the one under whom this world's Savior suffered and died. What kind of a man is it who knows Jesus to be innocent and yet sentences him to die? What kind of a man is it who knows what is the right thing to do and yet violates his own principles and conscience and instead does what is easy and pragmatic? Pontius Pilate, remembered in history not as the principled Roman governor of Judea, but instead remembered as a spineless pragmatist. Would you want to be remembered that way? As a cowardly, compromising, weak person, ready to sell your own soul for some perceived favorable outcome? And by the way, as a historical footnote, the real tragedy of Pilate is that even his pragmatism did not work out for him. A few years after he sentenced Jesus, the emperor recalled Pilate back to Rome and then banished him to Gaul as an ineffective leader. And there his failures and his weaknesses caught up with him. And according to historical sources, Pilate died a violent death by his own hand. Pilate, the pragmatist. Pilate, the suicide. Pilate, the pathetic. History has not been kind to Pilate. And yet, who among us would dare to sit here 2,000 years later and cast stones? Isn't Pilate's spirit very much alive in our day, in you, in all of us? Who among us can claim that we have never compromised our principles for the sake of pragmatism? Well, right now, this time of year is the time when we pay our tribute to Caesar, our income taxes. And we all know the temptations of hiding some of our income from the IRS or of exaggerating our deductions and the like. Oh, sure, as Christians, we have our principles of honoring the governing authorities whom God has placed over us for our good and of paying to Caesar what Caesar is due. But, oh my, think of what I could do with that extra money. And at every turn in our lives, we are faced with these kinds of decisions. Will we follow our principles, or will we do what's pragmatic? Just this past Friday, we're coming north here on Road 16, and we saw a road coming west on Road T, and that car blew right through the stop sign at T and 16, as if the sign wasn't even there. I guess it's the pragmatism of getting to your destination earlier over the principle of honoring the law. Or how about when you join the gossip so that you can fit in, which is the pragmatic thing to do, instead of doing the principled thing and standing up for the person and defending the person who's being gossiped about? Or how about that time when you get too much change back for your money when you purchase something and you keep it? After all, I could use it. That's the pragmatic thing. Instead of being principled and honest and giving that money back. Or what about when you deliver that piercing verbal jab? Oh, which he deserved, and it felt so good to get that jab in there. Instead of turning anger away with a soft answer. We all do it. When the pragmatist in us, when the Pontius Pilate in us, sees that there is some potential gain to be had, some advantage to be had, our principles are out the window. Which is why the preachers who de-emphasize the gospel and who speak primarily of the principles for Christian living are deficient in their preaching. Our principles will never save us. Oh my goodness, we can't even obey a speed limit. How are we ever going to abide by the holy and righteous laws and statutes of our God, such as we read in the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments? That's why in the Lenten hymn, "Jesus, I Will Ponder Now," we say to Christ, "For I also am my sin, brought your deep affliction. This, the shameful cause has been of your crucifixion. It was my inability to be honest and fair and decent and principled that compelled Christ to die, to take my guilt upon himself and to take it away from me." And if Pilate had also believed that Jesus was laying down his life willingly for the sins of all mankind, he too could have been saved and his tragic end could have been avoided. Let this be the lesson learned from Pontius Pilate. Because we know that all of our calculating and compromising, together with all of our acts of waywardness and wrongdoing, and all of our spinelessness and gutlessness when it comes to our principles, it's all covered by the cross of Jesus Christ. The Pontius Pilate within us is forgiven by the very execution that Pilate decreed. Knowing that, and by our baptismal rising to a newness of life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we now can find the strength in Christ to stand firm in our conscience, to stick by our principles, so that less and less we are like Pilate, and more we are like Jesus. In his precious and holy name, amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.